Thanks for tuning in to the Catalyst Church Sermon Podcast. Our church's mission is to help people far from God find life in Jesus Christ. For more information about Catalyst, go to www.thisiscatalyst.com. Now let's listen in.
So good to see you guys again. You guys ready? Oh man, it's so good to be back. Of course, I was back doing some announcements last week, but it's good to be back preaching again after being gone for a little over 6 weeks. Like for some of you, you haven't seen me since Christmas Eve, and for that might be an answer to prayer for some of you. Others of you, it's really good to be back. I just want to thanks again from both me and my family for the texts and the prayers. If you don't know, on January 1st, I got a phone call. My dad had fallen in his home, spent 13 days in the hospital before he passed away on January 14th, and so I was on a leave of absence from January 1 until like last Tuesday, just being with him, taking care of all that. And so you guys have been amazing support, love, care, prayer, all that kind of stuff, and also. So just our staff and the volunteer leaders at Catalyst have been incredible over the last 6 weeks. Can we give our staff and just our volunteer leaders a round of applause, like just for doing everything so well and leading really well in my absence? It was so nice to just have that peace to know that, you know, you guys are doing an amazing work here. So I want to pray to get our time going. We're in this series called Teach Us to Pray, and so I want to open our time in God's Word with a prayer. So will you join me this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we desperately want to hear from you today. We are a people who are trying to follow you, who recognize the truth of your words, Jesus, when you said that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we need your voice. We need to hear from you. For when we don't, our soul begins to die. And so, Heavenly Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, will you speak to every single one of us exactly where we're at this morning? If we come in broken, if we're coming in feeling guilt, if we're coming in this morning feeling shame, if we're coming in this morning praising you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives, God, will you speak to our hearts and to our souls and to our minds in the way that we need to hear from you today? So we commit ourselves to you and to your word this morning. God, will you speak? Because if you don't, nothing will be said. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. A movie came out in 1992 that changed my life. It was a movie that as a senior in high school with great aspirations of one day becoming an NBA basketball player as a 5'8 white kid. Why are you trying to crush dreams, man? Is that how you do it with your kids? They're like, I want to play in the NBA. You're like, no, you're too short. No, you don't do that, but you just did that to me. So, but anyway, as a 5'8 high school basketball player, this movie came out, and it gave me an incredible amount of hope. Some of you, if you're a person of the 90s or if you like watching movies of the 90s, you may remember the movie White Men Can't Jump. How many remember White Men Can't Jump, right? So Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, like two great actors in this movie. And if you don't know anything about it, it's about these two guys that form a relationship and they're street ball players. And, you know, obviously Wesley Snipes is African American. Woody Harrelson's about as white as you can get on the basketball court, but they're both really good. And there's a really cool scene in that movie where it kind of plays on obviously some, like, you know, racial undertones and assumptions, stuff like that, where they had just won, like, their first two-on-two basketball match, and they're driving away from it, and they're so excited and elated, and Woody Harrelson puts in Jimi Hendrix on the tape in the tape player, okay? This is the 90s, there's tape players, right? Puts it in, and Purple Rain comes on. Any Jimi Hendrix fans in here? Okay, yeah. So Purple Rain comes on, or Purple Haze, excuse me, not Prince. Purple Rain, Purple Haze, sorry. Everyone's like, come on, man. No. So Purple Haze comes on, right? And Wesley Snipes goes, what are you doing, man? And Woody Harrelson goes, I'm listening to Jimmy. And he goes, what are you listening to Jimmy? You know, he's like saying, that's not your music. Like, that's my music. What are you doing listening to Jimmy? And he goes, man, I love listening to Jimmy. And Wesley goes, that's the problem. He goes, you're listening to Jimmy, but you don't hear Jimmy. I hear Jimmy, right? Like, we hear Jimmy. You are a white guy. You can't hear Jimmy the way I can hear Jimmy. And he says in there that there's a difference between listening to something and hearing something. And often it feels like that's how our relationship with God goes. God, I'm listening, but I'm not hearing. I'm listening for your direction. I'm listening for your word. I'm listening from your voice, but I'm not hearing anything. I'm trying. And that can be super frustrating. Out of you, by just right raising your hands, been frustrated that you're just not hearing from God the way that you want to. A lot of us are in that bag. I'm listening, but I'm just not hearing. And it especially becomes frustrating when we're standing at the crossroads of a really big decision, isn't it? Where you go, God, what is it that you want me to do? God, do you want me to take this job? Do you want us to make this move? Do you want me to pursue this relationship? Do you want me to put a ring on it? Do you, you know, want us to get involved in missions or go on this missions trip or pursue ministry? And you're standing at that crossroads. And often when we go to those times, we go, okay, God, like, I want you to help guide and direct this path. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And so we sit down and we go, okay, God, like here are the options in front of me. God, I want you to show me which one of these I'm supposed to take. And sometimes you get silence. You're like, I don't know. I don't know which path I'm supposed to take. God, I don't know what the answer is to that. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing anything. And so then you go, okay, well, the initial prayer doesn't work, so I'm gonna dedicate maybe a little bit of time. I'm gonna get up early, I'm gonna open my Bible, and I'm just gonna sit in silence, and I'm gonna pray. And so you sit down at the kitchen table or your quiet place in your room and you open up God's word and you go, okay, God, like I'm listening. And you can't get that Ace of Base song like out of your head. And you're like, why can't I just slow down and listen? And hear. And we all at various points have felt that frustration that I want to hear from God, but I just don't know how. And I don't know about you guys, but it's the voice of God. It's His word, His activity in my life. That does more for my relationship with God than anything else. It's His word speaking into my life that gives me life like nothing else. And like I said in that opening prayer, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, He says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man doesn't live on the things of this world, but he is sustained and grows and lives by the very words that God speaks. And so if God is speaking, how do we know what He's saying and how do we put ourselves into a position to hear what He has to say? And if we go through these long seasons, and some of you are there right now, you're wondering, where is God in my life? I haven't heard from Him in a long time. I seem to read Scripture and it feels empty. I'm praying, but it feels like it's falling on deaf ears. I understand. But some of us will go through those types of seasons. And when we do, doesn't it feel like our souls begin to die? Because we desperately yearn for God's presence and His voice, but we also see the truth of exactly what Jesus said, that we live on the words of God, not by the things of this world. You know, these past 7 weeks for me and my family have been some of the toughest days that we've gone through. We knew this day was going to be coming eventually with my father's passing. But the first week of 2020, when I got that phone call and I immediately drove up to Northern California to be with my father in the hospital, I'll just be really honest, I was so angry at God. And the big thing of what I was angry with God was why now? Like, this is like the worst possible time, and as if there's any good time for crisis, right? But we have those. So why now? Like, there's so much going on in particular. I was really looking forward to 2020 with you guys. I was so looking forward to preaching through the Plus One series and to share with you guys what I felt like was God's direction and vision for us in this upcoming year, with us, every single one of us, seeing someone that we love come to know Jesus and bringing our Plus One to heaven with us. And I had outlined every single message, and our staff had put together this great plan. And so I'm like, God, why is it that I don't get to be a part of this vision that you gave me? Why am I not here? Why can't I be home with my family? And why can't I be home with my kids? And I was so angry, and the more angry I got, it seemed like the more silent God became. And I was waiting for God to show me why. Why is it that we're going through this right now? And one thing that I've realized in 30 years of walking with Jesus is that I'm really dumb. Anyone else really dumb in here when it comes to hearing from God? Okay, right? Like, I really just kind of need to be smacked over the head by God. It's happened multiple times in my life because I'm not a very good listener and I don't hear really well. But one thing that I've noticed in my walk with God is I need God to do a supernatural work so that I can give him credit. Like, I don't see very often the little things. I don't know if you're like me in that way, but when something awesome happens, I'm like, praise God. Like, he gets all the credit for it. But sometimes I just, in my nearsightedness, I don't see the little things that God is doing in my life. And I seemed to be waiting for like this picture of why this was happening and the timing that it was happening, and it just wasn't happening. And then as the weeks began to progress, I realized that God was speaking to me in my love language. And I think there's actually a little bit of a connection between our love language and the way that we hear from God. So my primary love language is acts of service. Now, if you've never done this before, there are five love languages. And the love languages are how we receive love from other people. Not necessarily how we give love, but the things that we need to receive love. Like, one of them is words of affirmation. So someone tells you that you're a really good person, you're good enough, smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. You're like, oh, I feel so loved by a word of encouragement or a word of affirmation. For some of you, your love language is physical touch. That's why you always love to have someone come and give you a hug, or physical intimacy with your spouse. Like, that's how you feel loved and connection with the person that you're wanting to receive love. Some people are quality time, where it's like, all I just want to do is sit down and have a nice conversation and know that I have your undivided attention for a period of time, and that's how I feel loved. And then the fourth one is receiving gifts. Like, you know, you like those cards or those little, you know, like things that you get from the person that you love, and or they'll buy you, you know, flowers, or they'll buy you a new yacht or something, and you're like, oh, I feel so loved right now by that 50-foot yacht, you know, or whatever. But for me, mine is the fifth. It's acts of service. That when someone helps me out, I feel loved. Anyone else acts of service in here? A couple of you? Yeah, we're the weird ones. But it took me a while to see that God was speaking to me in my love language. See, I wanted to know why. And God was like, no, I'm just going to help you. And as I help you, you're going to see why this was happening in the timing that it was happening. Because then nearly every morning for a month, I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning, couldn't go back to sleep, and the laundry list of things to do that day just piled on. I started writing my list of everything you have to do, and if you've ever gone through end of life with someone cleaning up their end of life, you understand what that's like. And every single day, I'd get to the end of the day, and almost everything off that list miraculously somehow got done. And I'd sit there at the end of the day and go, God, like, there's no way that this would have been accomplished without you. Like, there were times in which I felt like the book of Ruth. We studied the book of Ruth earlier this year, where God was like, or the story of Ruth's like, well, it just happened to be on this one day that so-and-so was here and so-and-so was also here, and so something began to happen. And you see God's invisible hand of movement happening, and that's how I felt. But more importantly, over the course of the couple weeks where my dad was passing, there was incredible times of conversation, family flying in from out of town, friends being able to come in and have good conversation, closing conversation, my dad's pastor was able to come in and pray with us and read scripture with us and all that. And I realized that God had orchestrated this end of life, not for me, but for him. Because why did this need to happen in the timing that it did? Because that's what dad needed to go home to be with Jesus. And God became truly, over the course of 3 weeks, for me, Jehovah Ezer, which means the God who helps. And I began to see and to hear God's voice and to see his activity so much more clearly. But what about you? How do you hear the voice of God? For so many, hearing the voice of God is a confusing and often frustrating thing for us. Because if you're a person of faith like I am, you know that you need to hear from God regularly to sustain your life. And Jesus wants you to have great communication with him. This is why Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to read how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, but for our purposes this morning, we're going to look at Jesus answering the question for us, teach us how to hear. And the parables that come after the teaching of prayer give us some incredible insights on how we can set ourselves up to hear God more actively in our lives. Last week, Pastor Jason did a great job on opening this up and setting the tone for what it means to teach us to pray when he walked us through the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to continue on in that teaching this morning. So if you can go to Luke chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. It'll also be on screen if you don't have your Bibles, but Luke chapter 11, verse 1. If you're there, say word. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, to give you a little bit of context on this parable, the context of this parable is a man goes to another man's house, his buddy's house. Now, these houses are not like our houses. These houses in first century Palestine were most often a single room home. And in that single room, often there would be a floor, open floor, with one step up, and on the step up would have been like a furnace or a fire pit of some sort, or a stove in which they could keep the house warm. But it was a giant a large open space. And so when it became nighttime, everyone would put away all of their stuff. They would often take out their mats, and the entire family would sleep on mats in this open room with the stove on to keep everyone warm at night. So there's people all over the place. Even in some cases, if family had livestock that they felt might be in fear of being stolen or eaten by other animals or attacked by other animals, they would sometimes even bring their livestock into the home with them for protection and purposes, and they would sleep with their animals. Right? Kind of weird, but that's the way they did it. And so Jesus sets up this scene where this guy has a friend who's on a journey, and friend says, "Hey, I need something to eat." And this friend in his hospitality is like, "I don't have anything, so let me go over to my neighbor's house and ask him to help me out." This is an analogy of prayer. Okay, and there's a need that we have in our lives that we can't fulfill, right? God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. God, I don't know what the next step is for me. Jesus assumes that his followers will go to the next door neighbor's house, or in this case, God, and knock on the door and make that request. You following the story? He makes that request, and he positions himself in such a way that the friend gets to answer that request. And so one of the keys for us, first, that Jesus hints to in this, is that when we're trying to hear the voice of God in our lives, we have to learn to go to him first. We have to position ourselves in such a way to say, God, when I need something, when I'm a crossroads, I'm going to go to you first. But that's not often how we do it, is it? Often when we stand at a crossroads, or we need direction, or we need help, or we need to get over something in our lives, we very often will go and process that with another person. That's not bad, but it's not the best. Or we'll get a book and try to figure out, like, how do I become a better person in this area? And we'll read a book, or we'll go on an internet search, or we'll do something. We'll, you know, find some distraction in our lives instead of going to God. But Jesus is like, no, the disciple of Jesus directly goes and knocks on the door. And so the man knocks on the door. Remember when you were younger and you'd go to someone else's house? And you would knock on the door. That never happens anymore, does it? Like, when was the last time you knocked on a neighbor's house? Like, never. We don't do that anymore. Like, when you remember, like, oh, go get two eggs from, you know, the next door neighbor's house. You don't do that anymore. You just Amazon Now, or you just go down to the store and get it. But like, so remember, like, you go over and you knock on the door. And you position yourself in such a way that they're going to be the one to remedy the problem that you have. And so Jesus tells the disciples that the first door that you knock on when you want to hear the voice of God is not a book, and it's not a friend. It's that door. And God will answer that door. And it's interesting to note that the Bible talks about that the voice of God, ironically, is described as a gentle whisper. Other translations is a still, small voice. And so remember when you go to the door and you kind of wait for the footsteps? And you wonder if, like, mom or dad or your friend was coming to the door, and you'd listen. And he says, I want you to listen for my still, small voice when you position yourself to hear from me. Listen, because it's going to be quiet. How are you positioning yourself to hear from God? Is it his door that you knock on first when you're at a crossroads? Jesus says that the follower goes directly to that front door, and he positions himself correctly. The friend in this story not only positions himself, but he also patiently waits to hear. The truth is, and this is a hard truth that almost every one of us has learned at some point in our lives, is that God doesn't work on our timeline, does he? He never does. Well, he sometimes does. I heard a friend once told me that God is seldom late, but always on time. And God desires for us to patiently wait for him to open that door. In fact, there's an element here where we see that Jesus actually rewards patient prayers. See, in this parable that Jesus tells, the friend had to wait. In fact, interestingly enough, if you read into the parable, what is the response of the friend after the knock on the door? Can't do it. Too busy. I don't know what that means about God, but I often wonder if God wants us to patiently wait because he's got other priorities. You ever wonder that when you make a request? God might be like, I'm actually dealing with world hunger right now. I'll get to that handbag later or the parking space later. But it's interesting to note that Jesus equates God with this man who says, no, I got other things to do than take care of your immediate request. And so you can wait a little bit. In fact, it's hinted in the story that it's at nighttime and the whole family's at sleep and maybe even the livestock, and this man would literally have to like step over everyone that's sleeping not to wake a single person. You wake up the pig, everyone's going to get waken up in that house, right? So he's like, I ain't getting up and answering the front door because it's going to disrupt everything else. And so you know what? You might even need to wait till morning after everyone's waking up. So will you be patient a little bit? But it's hard for us to do that, isn't it? Because we don't live in a patient culture, do we? I mean, we got Google at our fingertips. We don't even have to type it in. Hey, Siri, like, give me the answer to this. Give me directions to here. If we need something, Amazon's got it. If we don't want to cook, you know, Grubhub's got our backs. I was at my Chris Matthews, one of our elders, one of my best friends, I've known him since he was in middle school, came up and he helped me out at my dad's house for a couple of days, and he actually trailered some stuff back home for me, back to our house. But we had to rent a U-Haul trailer, and so we're in the U-Haul store, and this poor woman at the U-Haul trailer store is all by herself, like trying to like manage this line of people. And when I say line, I say that kind of jokingly, because there were three people in line. We were first, there's another dude behind us, and then there was a woman behind in line, and this poor woman's trying to like hitch up trailers and do everything. I'm like, man, you need some help. She's like, yeah, I know, the other guy called in sick, so I'm here all by myself. And so this woman comes in third in line behind us, and we're getting everything ready for the trailer. She literally waited for 10 seconds and she goes, do you guys have like a number system or something? And the lady's like, no, sorry. And she goes, well, you guys need a number system because I just don't want to stand here and wait. Can I just get a number, go back to my car so I can, like, you know, go on my phone or something? Chris and I were like, dude, you're going to wait for like 10 minutes, dude. Like, really? There's no patience for that? But our mindset is, I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to wait in line. So I ordered on Amazon. I don't want to have to drive anywhere to take my time. Instead of waiting patiently, we live in a culture that says, I want it now. And we've bought into that, especially in our relationship with God, haven't we? But in this parable, Jesus says, be patient. Be patient. Be still and rest and just hang on. And so for many of us who are, you know, our mentality when it comes to hearing the voice of God is that once we knock, we're like, you know, like that's how we roll, right? We're like, if I don't get it now, it's like headphones go on, phone comes out. We can't wait for 5 seconds without going like, oh, I wonder what the score of the game is, or let's check Instagram, or, you know, let's find out what's going on. And it's like, we can't even slow down for a few minutes and just wait and be patient. And we miss out on these little opportunities to hear from God, of waiting in silence instead of going directly to our phone. I mean, how many of us, that this is the first voice we hear when we wake up in the morning? We don't reach for our Bibles. We reach for our phones. And we're more interested in what's on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and the score of last night's game than we are from hearing the voice of God. And we wonder why we can't hear. Oh, that gets me, because that's me most of the time. But we have to patiently sit back and we, you know, whether it's those small little things or it's the big things. I mean, when's the last time you took an entire day with God? Like a day. Got up in the morning, said, I'm not going to work. I'm calling in sick. I'm going to the beach. I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to sit in my backyard all alone and be silent with God all day long because I need to hear from Him. And I'm going to sit here and wait until we have a conversation. When's the last time? Well, Chris, I don't have time. And to that I say, bull pucky. Americans spend on average 900 hours a year on social media and 2,200 hours watching TV. That is 37 days a year on social media and 3 months a year on television. I think we have time. Are you patient enough to wait for it? Corrie ten Boom once said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. So consider maybe setting some time limits on your phone, your screen time. Take a prayer walk. Read a good book. Sit on the beach with your Bible and a journal and just listen to God. And don't do the talking. Just listen. Share a meal with a good friend and just say, hey, what's God doing in your life? And let them speak to you. And so when you patiently wait, what does God's voice actually sound like? Have you ever asked that question? What does God sound like? Anyone? You probably assume Morgan Freeman, you know, or... But I want to tell you, these are some of the things that God's voice sounds like. First of all, God's voice often sounds a lot like the Bible. It's God's written word. It's His gift to us. It's His eternal written word that instructs us and guides us and counsels us and teaches us how to follow Jesus. It shows us how to get out of sticky situations and to flee from temptation and sin and pursue holiness and righteousness with our lives. It's God's word. It's His eternal word. And it's been given to us as a gift so that we know the character, nature, heart, and history of God with all of mankind. It sounds a lot like the Bible. And it's so disheartening at times when people will wrongly use the Bible to justify sin and say, well, God said it. It's like, no, it didn't. But God's word, most of the time, for me, sounds most like the Bible. That's when God speaks to me through His word, His written word. God's voice also often sounds like God's people. It's called godly wisdom. And so when you're at a crossroads or you've been praying going, I think I'm supposed to make this job change. I think I'm supposed to date this gal. I think I'm supposed to make this critical decision in my life. One of the great places to go to see if that's really what God has for your life is a trusted godly mentor or friend to help confirm that feeling inside of you is actually from God. Don't ever, ever make a decision in a relational vacuum, especially a critical decision. Don't make it in a relational vacuum. And don't say, well, God told me, and so I'm going, like, it's okay to go and confirm that with other people because God will use them to either confirm it or go, nope, that was the bad chicken you had the night before. That wasn't God's voice. Thirdly, God will use circumstances to speak to us very often. Like I said before, and this is God's hand throughout all of Scripture, but you see even the little things, like I said, in the book of Ruth, where it's like, that so-and-so would be here and Naomi would be here, and it's like it just so happened to be that they were walking in the same field together. And God will orchestrate circumstances sometimes in our lives to remind us of His presence and to speak to us. So we have to be aware of those circumstances. But then within those circumstances, always remember that those are bounced off of God's word and they should be bounced off of God's people. Okay? Especially if it's between something that you think is not good and something that is godly. Always go, God led me to the strip club. You know, like, no, He didn't. You know, like, it's okay. You got to bounce that stuff off His word. You got to bounce that stuff off of Scripture. Fourthly, God often speaks, and he speaks to me a lot, and I'm sure he does it for you too, is holy conviction. When you're in a moment of temptation or in a moment of sin, you ever get that gut check? You're like, oh man, I shouldn't. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Jesus said in our prayer, God, lead us not into temptation. And so when that gut check comes, it is the Holy Spirit telling you to run. And why truth I've found in my life is the more I give in to temptation, the more distant that voice becomes. It's as if God's like, you want to keep ignoring me? I'm done. It's like a parent, right? You don't want to listen to my, you don't want to listen to me anymore? Go ahead. Have your way, man. Go nuts. See what happens. But very often, that holy conviction is the Holy Spirit going, I have a better way. Walk away. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God will always provide a way out of temptation. Do you hear it? And when you hear it, do we obey? Another way that God speaks to me, and we see this often in Scripture too, is that his voice sounds like a firm footing after a step of faith. A firm footing after a step of faith. And what I mean by that is that when you say, okay, God, I sense that this is what you're asking me to do, I'm going to take a step of faith in that direction. And when you take a step of faith in that direction and God creates a firm foundation under that step, you know that there's a next step in front of you, don't you? God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for creating this firm foundation underneath my feet. As I take a step of faith and trust you with this direction that I sense that you're taking me on in my life, I'm going to take that step. And when that step lands, okay, God, you're speaking and you're leading and you're guiding. And God's voice of activity in our lives often sounds like a firm foundation or a firm footing on a step of faith. Sixthly, God's voice sounds like his Spirit. His Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives inside of you, Christian. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? And that God's presence lives inside of every single believer. As God says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan anymore, but I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit as a guide and a counsel to get you through life and to remind you of things of God. And so whenever you're feeling prompted to pray for someone, to bless someone, to share your faith with someone, to be generous with your money. It's never the devil. It's always the Holy Spirit. I would go so far to say that when one of those things is prompted in front of you, it's not you either. It's from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's saying, no, you should do this. You need to care for that person. You need to provide for that neighbor. You need to give to this. You need to serve here. You need to share your faith. You need to pray for that coworker. And when those thoughts come in, it's the Holy Spirit prompting you to follow. See, anything good and godly comes from the Holy Spirit. And the more you ignore it, the harder it's going to be to hear the next time. On the other side of that, the more we obey when we're prompted, the easier it becomes to hear the voice of God. Do you know that to be true? I do. And then the last one is the audible voice of God. Scripture talks about it. I've known people that have said that they have audibly heard the voice of God. I haven't. I've sensed mostly through His Word and through the Holy Spirit what He's telling me. But the Bible does refer to it, and people have often heard it, the audible voice of God. And here's the principle I want us to see when it comes to this, is that the more you listen and obey, the easier it becomes to recognize. The more you listen and obey, the easier it is to hear. And so when you do hear, do what He says. And then you'll begin to recognize that that's the voice of God inside of me, speaking to me. And then the last principle on here really quickly is that we also need to persistently pursue him. In fact, in this passage, it uses this phrase, because of your shameless audacity. The Greek in there is a shame. The Greek words that Jesus that is translated from Jesus in there is shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. It's as if he's knocking on the door over and over and over again. And it was shameless and audacious and going, God, this is what I need from you. God, I need to hear your voice. God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need your direction in my life. And I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock over and over and over again. And I'm not only going to be patient, but I'm also going to be persistent with it. And I'm not going to let this go because I care so much about it. Your word is like food for my soul. And so I'm going to wait and I'm going to persist until I hear from you. I'm going to remain silent. And the reality is that persistence often speaks to how badly we want to hear God's voice. I mean, how often do we say, God, I need an answer, and we give him like 5 minutes. Is there persistence in your pursuit of God? Because Jesus wants to give you his voice. Look at what he says. He says, so I say to you in light of this parable, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and to one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And it continues. Which one of your fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the what? What? The Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, which one of you asks is going to give you that yacht, parking spot, Gucci bag, those shoes, the perfect spouse. He says, no. The promise is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. That is the soul or the food that your soul needs. And God wants you to hear his voice. And so are you positioned? Are you patient? And are you persistent in your pursuit of that? And so here's your homework for this week. We're given homework every single week, or your assignment for this week, for the next 6 days, 7 days. Here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to give God at least 10 minutes every day in silence, and then say, speak, for your servant is listening. If you want, bring a journal, a pad of paper, and a pen, and then just start writing down what you hear or think or feel during those 10 minutes. And just see if God's saying something to you. And if he does, obey. We're going to end our time this morning in the message before we go into responsive worship with a time of silence. We're going to give you literal silence in this room this morning, and it may be awkward for some of you, but what we want to do is to provide a space for you to just say, okay, God, I'm listening. What are you telling me this morning? And a couple of things are going to happen after that time of silence. First of all, when the band starts playing and leading us into responsive worship through song, our usher is going to come down. They're going to pass some offering baskets around. That's your opportunity to drop in those connect cards or give tithes or offerings. And then during our worship set at the end, there's going to be some of our prayer team in the very back of the sanctuary again this Sunday. And they're available to you to pray for you if there's something that you need prayer for. If you've come in heavy or burdened and you need it to be lightened through prayer, we have people back there that would love to have the opportunity to lighten that load through prayer with you. And so if you come in and you can do that, they're going to be available in the back for you. So I'm going to close us out in prayer, and then we're going to go into our time of silence. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a God that wants to communicate with us, and that you have a voice that wants to speak to us. Will you help us this morning? Will you help us this week to hear from you?